when Israel went out of Egypt, the house of Jacob from a people of strange language, Judah was his sanctuary and Israel his dominion. The sea saw it and fled, the Red Sea, fled before their presence. Jordan was driven back. Mountains skipped like rams and the little hills like lambs. What aileth thee, O thou sea, that thou fleddest? Thou Jordan, that thou wast driven back. Ye mountains that ye skipped like rams, ye little hills like lambs. Here's the reason. Tremble, thou earth, at the presence of the Lord. Tremble, thou earth, at the presence of the Lord, at the presence of the God of Jacob, the God of Israel, which turned the rock into a standing water, a flood. The flint, when he stood upon the rock, smitten by Moses, into a fountain of waters. And now in Psalm 115, the Lord is entreated by his people to glorify himself again, to unbar his mighty arm, to show his power and glory. He is entreated to glorify himself again, as all believers today, I'd like to see it. All believers now long for God to manifest his power, exalt his name, vindicate his servants. But the psalmist is careful to say, not unto us, O Lord, not unto us, but unto thy name give glory. There's no glory due us. The psalmist is saying, we're not asking that you unbear your mighty arm for our sake or for our glory. We're not asking that you manifest your glory again, exalt your great name for our sake, or to vindicate our claims. That would be a poor prayer. Not unto us, not on account of anything we are or have done, naturally, materially, spiritually, or eternally. Not unto us, O Lord, not unto us, but unto thy name give glory. Because have we a being? Have we physical life? It's not unto us, but unto God. The glory belongs. Have we health? Have we outward comforts? Not unto us. Not unto us, but unto God be the glory. Have we friends and family? Not unto us. Not unto us, but unto God be the glory. Have we the means of grace? Have we the faith to believe? Have we the perseverance to continue? Not unto us. Not unto us, but unto his name give glory. Have we some usefulness in his kingdom? Have we hope of his glory? Well, it's not unto us. So the psalmist is saying right off, now, not unto us, O Lord, not unto us, but unto thy name give glory, not for our sakes, not for our glory. But watch this. But for your mercy, the word is grace, mercy and grace are the same. For your mercy and for your truth's sake, these are the attributes in question. These are the attributes that are assaulted in this day. His grace, his sovereign, peculiar, particular, redeeming grace. And his truth. And his purpose. And his verity. And his name. That's what's in question. In John chapter 1, turn over there a moment. John chapter 1. That's what's being assailed and assaulted today. God's grace. And God's truth, the truth of his word. In John 1, now God's jealous of these two glorious attributes, grace and truth. grace and truth. The triumph of grace and truth in other days is what we're talking about. In John 1, verse 14, the Word was made flesh, dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Verse 16, and of His fullness, grace and truth, have we all received grace for grace. For the law was given through Moses. Not by Moses, through Moses. But grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. Grace and truth. And the psalmist is saying, Lord, unbear Your mighty arm. Exalt Your great glorious name. Reveal Yourself in glory and majesty. Do what You've done in these other days, like we read about here in Psalm 114, when He turned the rock into standing water and the flint into fountains of water. When the sea was driven back and Jordan was driven back and the mountains skipped like rams and the little hill like lambs. The great victories of the gospel preached by the apostles. The great victories in the days of the reformers, the Reformation. Oh my, what days those were. The revivals in history when God was pleased to redeem many people. They all remembered, but they remembered as a history of the past. It's like one fellow in the days of Spurgeon went out to one of the church cemeteries and knelt before the tombstone of a great mighty preacher of the gospel. And he said, Lord, do it again. Do it again. Verse 2. Wherefore should the heathen say, where is now their God? Where is their God in whom they trust? Where is this almighty God that they preach? And they say He will deliver us. Where is now their God? Why does He not show Himself? Why does He not appear in power and blessings on His church? Wherefore should the heathen God, wherefore should they be permitted to talk like that? Why do you permit them to talk like that? Where is now their God? Wherefore should the pretended wise men of this day be permitted to doubt the existence of the living God? But they do. Wherefore should they be permitted to speak lightly of the deity of the Lord Jesus Christ? Take His name in vain. Ridicule His blood and righteousness. Speak disparagingly of the great Redeemer. Wherefore should the heathen question Your mercy and Your truth, Your sovereignty, Your elective grace, Your wrath against sin, and be allowed to live? Wherefore should they be permitted to say, where is now their God? They speak exceeding proudly, and only God can stop their boasting. We can't. Or they're bragging, or they're blustering. Wherefore, God, should they, the heathen, say, where is now their God? Where is the promise of His coming? Everything continues like it always has. Verse 3. You ask, where is now our God? A better question would be, where is He not? Our God's in the heavens. Our God's in the heavens. What has He done? He hath done whatsoever He pleased. That's the answer that David gave over here in another psalm. Psalm 135. Verse 4. The Lord hath chosen Jacob unto Himself and Israel for His peculiar treasure. I know that the Lord is great, that our Lord is above all gods, and whatsoever the Lord pleased. That did He in heaven, and earth and the seas and all deep places. Where is now their God? He's in the heavens. He's in the heavens where they'll never be. And He has done whatsoever He pleased. He's in the heavens and He's in the earth. He fills both with His presence. And neither one can contain Him. Whither shall I go from His Spirit or flee from His presence? If I ascend into heaven, He's there. If I make my bed in the grave, He's there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, He's there. Even there shall thy hand lead me, thy right hand hold me. If I say, well, surely the darkness will cover me, even the night shall be light about me. Yea, the darkness hideth not from thee, but the night shineth as the day. The darkness and the light are both alike to thee. Where is our God? He's the maker of heaven and earth. One's His throne, the other's His footstool. Where's our God? He dwells in the highest heavens. He overlooks all and overrules all. Not even a sparrow falls to the ground without His hand. And the hairs of every man's head is numbered. Where's our God? He's in the heavens. What has He done? Whatever He pleases. In creation, He created all things by His power and for His glory. He said in Revelation 4, verse 11, Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power. Thou hast created all things, and for Thy pleasure they are and were created. He said in Proverbs 16, verse 4, listen, the Lord hath made all things for Himself, yea, even the wicked. Yea, even the wicked, for the day of evil. Everyone that's proud in heart is an abomination to Him. Though hand join in hand, he shall not go unpunished. By mercy and truth, that's what we want to see. That's what we want vindicated. His mercy and truth. By mercy and truth, iniquity is purged. By grace and truth, iniquity is purged. What hath He done? In providence, He worketh all things after the counsel of His own will. He says to the lightning, go, and it goes, come, and it comes. To the rain, fall. To the snow, cover the earth. He has all power over all flesh. In grace, what hath He done? He's gracious to whom He will be gracious. He's merciful to whom He will be merciful. Where is now your God? He's in the heavens. He quickens whom He will. He calls and saves men and women today, like He always has, not according to their works, but according to His own purpose and grace given to them in Christ before the world began. Our God's in the heavens. He's infinitely wise. He doeth all things well. Our God is infinitely holy. Shall not the judge of the earth do right? Our God is infinitely good. In Psalm 84, verse 10, verse 11, for the Lord God is a sun and a shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. And no good thing will He withhold from them that walk uprightly. This is our God. Wherefore should the heathen mock and ask, where is now your God? Our God's in the heavens. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And He doeth whatsoever He will in the armies of heaven and among the inhabitants of this earth. And none can stay His hand or say unto Him, what doest thou? This is our God, and we're not ashamed to own Him. We're not ashamed to praise Him. We're not ashamed to bow down and worship Him. He may not work miracles at our beck and call. He usually doesn't. And He may not work miracles at the beck and call of those who challenge Him. One day they challenged His Son to come down from the cross And they said they would believe. Now they challenge him to come down from heaven and prove himself. He that sitteth in the heavens shall laugh. He shall hold them in derision. Why should he give one more sign to those who shut their eyes to so many marvelous miracles of his grace all around them? Verse 4. Their gods, their idols, the idols of this world are silver and gold. The idols and gods of the heathen are not in the heavens. They're made from the earth. They're made of matter dug out of their silver and gold. It may be precious to them and precious for a while, but they're nothing but idols dug from the earth. They're the work of men's hands. Verse 4. The maker is always greater than the thing he makes. So their gods have more honor than they do. They have more honor than their gods, rather. The maker is always greater than the thing he makes. They're dug from the earth. They're the work of men's hands. They have mouths, but they speak not. They speak neither wisdom, nor holiness, nor peace, nor comfort. Eyes have they, but they see not. Hagar said, "Thou, God, seest me." Oh, what comfort that is. He saw me in Christ before the foundation of the world. He keepeth his covenant. He saw me in Christ in his righteousness and obedience. He saw me in Christ at Calvary. He saw me in Christ when he rose from the grave. He sees me in Christ seated at his right hand. He sees me in every trial he provides for all the ways and days. They have eyes, but they don't see. But thou, God, seest me. They have ears, but they don't hear. No use for them to say to their idols what we say to our God. Out of the depths have I cried unto thee, O Lord, hear my voice. They have ears, but they don't hear. Let thine ears be attentive to the voice of my supplications. They have ears, but they don't hear. They have noses. That's interesting, isn't it? They have noses, but they don't smell. Does our God smell something? Turn to Ephesians 5. I'll show you what he smells. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 2. Walk in love as Christ also hath loved us, and he hath given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for sweet-smelling savor. Sweet fragrance. The blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, the death of the Son of God, is to our God a sweet-smelling savor. He says of the heathen gods, they have hands, but they can't receive anything. Sacrifices of praise and thanksgiving, offerings of love. David said, "We've given unto thee that which is thine already," but they can't receive anything, and they can't help. They can't assist those who call. They have hands, but they handle not. Feet have they, but they walk not. They never move from the place where these makers of idols put them. Neither speak they through their throat. But this is interesting. They that make these idols are like unto them. They are like unto their gods. So is everyone that trusteth in a false god. Now let's go back and see what these false gods are like. How are these people like their idols that they make, their false gods that they conjure up, or how their imagination? How are they like their gods? Well, number one, remember their gods are dirt only, made from the earth, and that's all these false worshipers are, dirt only. Dust thou art, to dust thou shalt return. No spiritual life, only God can give life. They're dirt only. And then they're senseless. These idols know nothing. And the people who make them know nothing. Spiritually, they're senseless. Having eyes, they cannot see. Our Lord said that. They have eyes, but they cannot see the glory of God. Satan hath blinded the minds of them, so they cannot see the glory of God. They have ears, but they do not hear His truth. They receive not the love of the truth. They have mouths, but they speak nothing of any worth, nothing of any value, nothing of any consequence, nothing of any glory, nothing spiritually do they speak. And they have noses, but they can't smell. What is a sweet fragrance to a believer, life unto life? The fragrance of Christ is death to these makers of idols. Every person is just like his God. Just like his God. Religionists today are just like their gods. Grace people are like their God. What's their God like? Their God is great. And those who know that great God have great thoughts, great expectations, great hopes, and great thoughts that cannot be defeated. Their God is feeble, and they're feeble. Their God is changeable, like the wind and the heath and the desert. The believer's God is in the heavens. So where's his affection? Things above. Looking for the appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ.
So verse 9, O Israel. Who is Israel? Jacob. God wrestled with him. Our Lord wrestled with him that night. And he said to Jacob, he said, what's your name? He said, Jacob. Your name no longer Jacob. Your name Israel. Prince. A prince with God. I loved you before you were born. I chose you before you were born. I changed your name. Your prince. Oh, Israel. Who's that? His elect, sons of Jacob. His chosen people. Oh, Israel, let others do what they will. But you, trust thou in the Lord. You trust in the Lord. Oh, house of Aaron, verse 10. Who's the house of Aaron? The priest of God. Nearest to Him. Your very calling is by His grace and truth and faithfulness. You're His priest who come into His presence with sacrifices of thanksgiving and praise to the mercy seat. You fear the Lord. You trust the Lord, O house of Aaron. And verse 11, ye that fear the Lord, who's this? It's every nation. Every believer of every nation, every tongue, every people who've been taught. I'll teach you the fear of the Lord. They've been taught. The beginning of wisdom is the fear of the Lord. They've been taught. They worship and reverence His name. O ye that fear the Lord, trust in the Lord. After each one of these commands in 9, 10, 11, there's the same words. Israel, trust in the Lord. House of Aaron, trust in the Lord. Ye that fear the Lord, trust in the Lord. He is their help. He is their help. We're helpless in ourselves. Vain is the help of men. Jehovah is our help. He has promised help to the helpless. And he's able to do. Abraham said what he promised. He laid help for us on his son. And he did for us all that God commanded. He has a throne of grace to which we can come for mercy and grace to help in time of need. His goodness and mercy follow us to help us all the days of our lives. His Spirit helpeth our infirmities. We know not what we should pray for, as we ought, and maketh intercession. He's our help. A very present help. A sufficient help. A complete help. For all we need. But he's our shield. As a shield protects the body. Our God protects and defends us from all dangers, all devils, and all enemies. It is a shield that has hedged us about. And this shield is, number one, his love and favor. He shielded us, hedged us about with his love and favor. They're mine. Touch not mine anointed. Number two, his great power and might shields his people. He gives his angel charge over thee. His truth and faithfulness. David dying says, God made with me a covenant, ordered in all things and sure. This is my salvation. His blood and righteousness. You were beautiful, but not in your beauty, but in my beauty, in my holiness, and then his Spirit and his grace. My grace is sufficient. But I need to be rid of this. My grace is sufficient. But this hill is too steep. My grace is sufficient. Then verse 12, the Lord hath been mindful of us. And because of his being mindful of us in his purpose, he's the first cause of all things. His purpose, his love toward us, he's mindful of us. The Lord's been mindful of us. And listen, and he'll bless us. He'll bless us. Whom will he bless? Go back to what Father ago he said, O house of Israel, trust the Lord. He'll bless the house of Israel. He's been mindful of the house of Israel. And because he's mindful of his chosen, his elect, he'll bless them. He'll bless us, O house of Israel. He'll bless the house of Aaron. He'll bless those, his priests, kings and priests under God. He'll bless those that fear him. He gave that us that fear. He shed abroad in our hearts that love. The Lord will bless them that fear him, small and great. And then it says the Lord will increase you more and more. He'll increase you. How? Increase your knowledge, You grow in grace and in the knowledge of Christ Jesus. He'll increase your love. He'll increase your faith. He'll give you trials that will strengthen your faith and give you patience and teach you His way and His will. He'll increase you. He'll increase His grace to you. Because you'll need it more and more as you get older. He'll increase you more and more, you and your children. Now in closing, you're blessed of the Lord which made heaven and earth. These heathen gods we've been reading about have no power to perform anything or to do anything. But we have all these blessings because we're blessed of the Lord who made heaven and earth. He made all things. And one who is able to do what He's done is able to bless us with enormous blessings, enormous gifts, enormous grace, not like those helpless idols. Our blessings depend upon the power of our God. I've often said there's only one place that a man will really, woman will really worship, and that's before the throne of an almighty, sovereign, omnipotent God with all power in heaven and earth. And we'll worship when we find out who He is. There's only one place that a man or woman will find true salvation, and that is as a gift of the grace and kindness of that almighty sovereign God who's able to save, who's able to be just and justified, who's able to redeem the chief of sinners, who's able to keep us from falling. That's the only place you'll find salvation. A God that offers something depending upon your works. That's not reliable salvation. Reliable salvation is when He does it all and gives it to you with no strings attached. Gives it to you. The gift of His love and grace. And then the third thing, the only place that a man or woman will find comfort in this world of disappointments, sadness, and heartache, and heavy trials, just one place. And that's to know that these trials and burdens and heartaches are sent by Him for His glory and for our eternal good. And like we were singing, we know that all things work together for good to them who love God, who are the called according to His sovereign, unchangeable purpose. Now then, that's comfort. You're blessed of the Lord who made heaven and earth. If He made it, He owns it. If He owns it, He disposes of it as He will. If He owns it, He'll give it to whom He will. If He owns it and you are His son, you own it. That's right. The heaven, even the heavens are the Lord's. The earth hath He given to the children of men. They've used it and abused it and misused it. And He's going to burn it up and make a new one. But the dead praise not the Lord. The dead sinners don't praise the Lord. Neither any that go down into silence. But I'll tell you this. We'll bless the Lord. No question about it. We will. We'll bless Him. We'll give Him all the glory. We'll give Him all the praise. We'll never be ashamed of His gospel or Him. We'll praise Him now, and we'll praise Him then. We'll praise Him forever. From this time forth, forevermore, we'll praise the Lord.